any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Marcus Grant will be joining us from the NFL Network at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget, we will be out at Walmart tomorrow in Estero, off of Estero Parkway and 41, Tamiami Trail, out in the parking lot, broadcasting. All of Beasley Broadcasting will be there from 6A to 6P, but we'll be doing our show from 2 to 6. Want you to drop off some new bikes, new unwrapped toys, gift cards, the whole deal. We're in conjunction with Toys for Tots, trying to get some toys together for the needy children in the area, and you can do your part by swinging by there tomorrow. Love to have you come by during our show, but if you have to come by earlier, that's fine too. Whatever is convenient for you, you can say hi to some of our other broadcast personalities around here. Before we go any further, Pete Shepherd, are you now clear on the concept of the squatty potty that we showed you during the top of the hour? Do you understand how it works now?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
No. 239 says he knows what to get Pete for Christmas now. I like this. 239, my daughters have never liked it when I have your show when he's driving them around in the truck, but they've never been more into the show now with all the poop conversation.
Oh, I missed that text. That's nice.
Yeah.
How old are they?
He didn't say.
Well, I mean, if they're like teenagers, they probably want to listen to...
I'm sure they're riding around with dad, so...
Yeah. 239, Poopery, never heard of it, but it's genius. Once again, you guys keep me informed on all the fecal matters, LOL.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Flagship for poop, flagship for fecal matter.
Yeah.
Cause pink eye.
Yes, amongst other things, yeah.
Wow.
Other things that can cause pink eye or?
What?
I said among, a lot of things that cause pink eye.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know poop particles, though.
Yeah.
From the movie Knocked Up, I learned that.
Oh, yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I had some laughs.
I don't know if I saw that.
Yeah, Katherine Heigl. And,
see, I'm not a fan of hers.
I'm not either.
Yeah, she rubs me
but
the wrong
Seth Rogen makes up for it.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of fecal matter and other things that may be in your stadium food.
Yeah.
ESPN did Outside the Lines. Yeah, that was pretty. I'm a professional.
That's what this is.
Outside the Lines did a thing on just how bad stadium food is. I mean, it listed them all.
We got them all here.
Oh, they're 9 and 10. Hey, girls.
All right. Hello there.
Girls, listen up.
Thanks for listening.
Whenever dad takes you to if you're into sports and you're going to a big person stadium, eat at home first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't eat. Yes. Because we're about to tell you is...
And keep in mind how exorbitant the prices are for this food you're about to
disgusting.
Pay for.
Disgusting. The prices are disgusting and the food is worse.
Yeah.
Where do you want to begin? How about the three highest violation rates?
Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Spectrum Center. No, let me set this up first. Okay?
Philly, right?
Yeah. Outside the Lines reviewed and collected more than 16,000 food safety inspection reports from health departments that monitor the 111 professional football, baseball, basketball, and hockey facilities across the country.
Yeah.
And Canada, North America. And the review of routine inspection reports from 2016 and 17 found that about 28% of the venues, half or more of the food service outlets incurred a high-level violation, one that poses a potential threat for foodborne illnesses. And it goes on, but I'll just give you some of the generic numbers, and then we'll get into some specific stadiums.
Yeah.
16,900 total routine inspections, 111 North American venues, 73 had a good or better rates than community, 9 had worse rates than the community, 28% had high-level violations at half or more outlets inspected.
Now, also, just to let you know, I saw the video piece before we came on the air. This first got our attention online at ESPN.com, and it's the whole thing there. But they actually aired it, and one of the focal fecal interviews was Marlins man, who goes around all these stadiums, and he talked about how he had like 9 clientele and friends with him at Yankee Stadium.
That botulism over there.
And they had to go to the hospital that night. I mean, it was that bad.
These are the... The Yankee seats, those two rows behind home plate.
Yeah.
I mean,
But it wasn't the food that was delivered to him down in those seats. This was stuff that they had gotten in one of their little...
In the high fancy swanky room
right,
up there.
But that's what I'm saying. This is the food that's given out to the people paying $1,000 for a ticket.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what they're... Like, the bleacher...
No,
folks,
you got to be nuts to eat a hot dog out of one of those bins in a stadium. You got to be crazy to do it.
They are good.
I'll tell you, if I'm that hungry, I mean, I pretty much stick to the basics: hamburger, maybe a hot dog, because it's you can grill it and kill it. I'm never getting seafood.
No,
that's
a bad idea.
But people who get sushi in these ballparks, you're out of your mind. Oh. And they have buffet. Some people have raw bars. Some of these stadiums had raw bars set up with crab leg, oysters.
Mm.
I mean, I love
Not
all that
there.
Stuff in a regular restaurant or in my own home. But in a ballpark or a stadium, you are risking your life. You're seriously risking your life. All right, so... Inspections at some stadium venues turned up a higher percentage of trouble spots than others. Here are the three venues that had the highest and lowest percentages right now. We have all of them here. Found at least one or more high-level violations. The three worst. Spectrum Center, 92%.
That means 92% of the tests they did came bad?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Everything there is filth.
Well, it's not downtown Detroit. It's a little more ritzier. Auburn but the Palace Hills. Of Auburn Hills.
Which used to be swanky.
86.1%.
Second highest violator.
The third highest, American Airlines Center.
Is that that's Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah,
that's Dallas.
American Airlines Center is Dallas. Yeah. The American Airlines Arena is Miami.
So that is Mark Cuban's joint.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not taking care of the people.
These are three of the best, okay?
Yeah.
NRG Stadium.
I'll agree with that. That place is clean as a whistle.
Well, for you. I guess it's not that new.
Right, NRG is
02, right?
It's 15.
NRG is Charlotte?
Charlotte. NRG is Houston.
Oh, Houston.
That's where the Texans play.
It is clean. It is clean.
4.44%. Very good.
Hmm.
State Farm Arena.
Which one's that?
State Farm.
Pacer? Yeah. Pacers?
No.
That'd be a field house, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't know where
State Farm is. I got it.
Anyway, Oracle Arena, that's where the... Warriors play, right?
Yeah. Well, now they're getting ready to move out of there. But
State
pretty
Farm
clean.
Arena is Atlanta, so that's where the
State
Hawks
Farm
play.
Yeah, okay. That's 4.17. So and then Oracle Arena out in Oakland, 1.12%. That's really good.
Wow.
Too bad they're moving out of there.
All right, so let's go back to the spectrum for a minute, and let's give some of the examples.
The types of violations can be temperature, employee-related issues, such as your buddy in Detroit spitting on the pizza dough.
Oh, which we got on video.
Pests and bugs. Poor condition of food.
He hawked a loogie on that pizza, too.
Equipment failure or problem or other.
That wasn't a little rogue spittle.
Yeah, that was a hawk.
Right.
So the Spectrum's the worst. Oh, we missed. That's in Charlotte.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's Charlotte.
No, we thought it was Philadelphia.
Oh, no, Spectrum's at Charlotte. Yes, it wasn't Charlotte. Yes.
Wow, did you see Michael Jordan swat that player on the back of the head?
Yeah, Malik Monk. It was
for celebrating too early.
Love tap.
He said it was a love tap. Well, we can start. You want to start? We can do it by sport if you want. That's probably the best way to do it.
I just want to look at this since it was the worst. Let's. I want to open up the report here, and it says.
And I would like to know where the people listening go to watch their games.
Yeah, we'll hit the Miami and the Tampa.
Miami, the Tampa, Orlando. I want to hit those places.
We're going to do that here.
But on December 20th, 2016, at the Spectrum, inspectors saw beer leaking from the ceiling in the bar area of the front court restaurant and bar. Food people were using bare hands with their food, and a couple of inspections in 2016. Inspectors noted that throughout the arena there was a consistent failure to properly document when food should be cooked, served, and discarded, and it was just a mess. So anyway, let's do some of the local ones.
Let me give you real quick. Now here's in the NFL, Bank of America Stadium. Okay,
also Charlotte.
Yes, here is some of the violations. You ready for this? On June 16, 2016, the main kitchen inspectors found moldy, expired cream cheese, along with out-of-date deli turkey and various cheeses, along with a significant amount of dried food residue on a slicer from the previous day.
Ugh.
Also, in September of that year, Inspectors found raw beef loin on a shelf over ready-to-eat food in a walk-in cooler in the main kitchen. Inspectors wrote that blood was getting on shelves and presenting a drip hazard, and they observed trays of food in the walk-in cooler with no cover. Now, having been an avid follower of everything Gordon Ramsay has ever done on not just Hell's Kitchen, but Kitchen Nightmares, you understand why somebody... he gets upset. And that's just in regular restaurants. And the same exact thing. I know exactly what all of this is. The cross-contamination that can happen does not take very well. Here's one more. Bad hygiene. Same stadium. Bank of America. August 9th, last year. Inspectors observed employees unaware of when to wash hands. Employees who did not wash their hands before putting on gloves and food prep. The report noted one employee who was seen handling raw beef and with the same gloves on, touched utensils and food preparation. Another employee lacked a hair restraint. That's just that one. So we'll stay in the NFL. Let's go to Tampa.
Just two anecdotes real quick. When I lived in Los Angeles, they did shut down Angel Stadium for a day, which, by the way, got a pretty good grade here.
It did.
But they had to clean that up. And then on the Outside the Lines story, they had the video of the story that I've told on the show here before, where there was a guy carrying around the giant snow cones.
On the toilet.
Had to do a number two, didn't have a squatty potty, but did put his snow cone tray down inside the stall, did his business, and then went back out and sold. That made the front page of the Houston Chronicle. It made this story for Outside the Lines.
Let's start with Raymond James Stadium here, okay?
Yeah, Ray J.
They're right in the middle, sort of. I don't know. It's bad. 47.14%. Here are some of the things that have happened there. Various unknown issues. Inspectors issued warnings in connection with 12 inspections across a variety of food service outlets and dates for a variety of violations, although one outlet of those given warnings was noted to have, quote, a high priority violation. September 25th, 2016, inspectors determined at Raymond James Stadium two locations each had 9 violations, designated one high priority violation at each location. The violations pertain to time and temperature control, food protection, cross-contamination, food dispensing, utensils improperly stored, hand washing, poor hygiene practices, eating, drinking, smoking, cleanliness of non-food contact surfaces, chemicals, toxic substances, and cleaning and maintenance equipment.
I need somebody's cigarette ash.
That's at Raymond James.
Ugh.
Let's go across Alligator Alley.
Fire the cannons.
To the Rock. The Rock got a better. Raymond James at 47.4%. The Rock is only 18.84%.
Hey, that's pretty good.
That's clean as a whistle, baby.
There we go. A couple of things. One location had three. This is December of 2016. One location had 3 high-priority violations during an inspection that month, with violations pertaining to the accuracy of thermometers, chemicals, toxic substances, hand-washing in employees, clean clothes, hair restraints, jewelry, painted artificial fingernails. And then in January of 2016, one kitchen inspected was noted for having violations pertaining to the presence of or breeding of insects, rodents, pests, live animals, outer openings being unprotected from insects/pests, and issues relating to equipment and ventilation.
Disgusting.
Not to mention the $14 vodka drinks.
Yeah, that's
all right. So let's go to...
Yeah, it kills all the bad stuff.
Let's go to baseball.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people texting in, this is why you tailgate.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in that now, yeah.
Absolutely agree. Yankee Stadium got the worst, by the way. The worst. Tropicana is, let me see.
Here it is, 49th. It's 31%.
Yep, is 31%. And here's what's going on. Is 31.65%. So what you got there, inspectors used a warning and noted 6 high-priority violations and 16 others after the inspection of a concession stand last April 5th of 2017. Violations pertain to using approved food sources, food temperature, accuracy of thermometers, proper thawing of food, food protection, cross-contamination, hand-washing, employee hygiene, cleanliness of food services, dishwashing facility, chemicals, toxic substances, having a valid food management. And then April also of last year, inspectors issued a warning and noted 25 violations, 2 high-priority ones in the kitchen. Ugh. Violations pertain to using approved food sources, proper temp, food protection, cross-contamination, hand-washing, and other employee hygiene. Basically, it's a lot of hygiene there. And failure to pertain to equipment and facility standards.
Who's hungry?
Not me. This is the picture they had on their website. It had a moldy piece of bread on a cheeseburger. Let's go to the phones. Sean in Lehigh wants to talk stadium food. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Craig, I just wanted to tell you, man, I am a ridiculous Gordon Ramsay fan. You tell me you cannot see the look of disgust on his face right now as you're reading through all of these reports.
Probably not too happy.
I feel his pain. I mean, and that's just that's with people who have allegedly run restaurants, many of them, for many, many years. And that's a much smaller venue than this.
So I wanted to ask you guys a question real quick. So I was listening to you talk about how, you know, you would never eat one of the hot dogs out of the bins or whatever.
Not anymore.
You know, so my question for you guys is, so you have to choose, right? You have to choose. Do you eat a hot dog from one of these stadiums or a hot dog from a 7-Eleven? If you have to pick, what do you pick?
Stadium.
7-Eleven.
Chris, break the tie.
7-Eleven. Because I think that those convenience stores are under watch now, much more so than they were.
You're talking about the ones
ago.
On the constant roller?
Yeah, the constant roller. I'm not doing that.
There's a high turnover. A lot of people go in there and grab them, though. It's a high turnover.
I put that in the movie theater hot dog category.
That's not the Seinfeld episode where Lloyd Braun was having a mental breakdown. One hot dog, please.
Now, Chris did turn me on because I'm not into gas station food, but Chris, when I first started working here, got me a sandwich from somewhere that was pretty good.
No, the Cuban sandwich.
The Cuban sandwich.
It was delicious, I remember.
Well, that was the it was a Cuban cafe in a gas station.
Oh, I got you.
And she since moved her shop.
Oh, yeah.
No longer in a gas station, but you find the nice hole-in-the-wall quote-unquote restaurants. Yeah. It's like a quick serve type.
They're gem. They're hidden gems.
But I think he's talking about the rollers.
The constant
heat rollers.
I'm not doing that. I mean, that's just...
I'd probably do that before a stadium dog.
It's much more
dog.
Hygienic than a stadium dog. You don't know these people.
Just think about it. There's 12 hot dogs on those rollers.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs are being served at a stadium?
I agree with you. 20 years ago, I would have thought the same thing, but not now. I'm
sorry. I've had dozens of hot dogs at stadiums by default. I've never gotten one at a gas station, ever.
Oh, I have a couple times.
God, especially when you're on the road. If you have problems where blank hits the fan later and you got
to
stop
because
it's running through you.
There used to be this one place I used to go to after golf on Saturdays. There'd be a line out the door because they'd have two dogs for $2 and a soda. And they were tremendous. They're constantly making them.
So you have no common point of reference when saying you would never eat a hot dog from a convenience store.
I have one in Texas. They've got a place called Buc-ee's, and everybody knows they're about 100,000 square foot big. They've got 30 gas things outside.
It's massive.
You go inside, and you'll eat their barbecue and their brisket. I mean, it's a thing. It's a kind of a... Not much else to do around there. That's go to Buc-ee's. Go to the gas. Now, though, I'll eat there all day long. The food there is actually, you get homemade fudge, you get brisket, the whole thing.
If I had you blindfolded and gave you a 7-Eleven hot dog as opposed to a couple other, I think you'd have a hard time.
I would go convenience store.
I would
For
too.
The record, I'm not taking a hot dog blindfolded from you. Rich in Naples, you're on with Sheena Shepherd.
You will, and you'll like it.
How you guys doing?
Good.
How are you?
Hey, the sausage, onion, and pepper at the Hard Rock on Sunday was pretty good.
How much?
It was like around $10.
Yeah,
and it was big. It wasn't a little skimpy little sandwich. So I will say that was okay, and I didn't come out of there poisoned.
Well, that's good.
I want to say that I left the game with 20 seconds to go, and in the parking lot, we heard all the screaming.
Oh,
we
couldn't
figure out what's going on because there were 50,000 phones trying to pull up data all at the same time.
Are you a Dolphin fan or a Patriot fan?
No, I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a Boston fan. I've been listening to you for 100 years.
Oh, thanks, Rich.
Hey, and I want to say
I'm only 51.
The last trip to see Dolphins Patriots, you can pull it up. Monday night, 2004. It was freezing out. We left with 3 minutes left. The Patriots are up by 2 scores, and guess what happened?
I remember. That was the night Miami was
fins up.
Miami was what, 2-13 that year, and they had
I think they were 2-13 or 3-11 or 12.
They're horrible, and they had the orange uniforms on. I remember, and they just
big night.
Yeah,
big win.
I remember. I remember doing the post game show till 2 or 3 in the morning. Yep.
Oh my. Yeah, and that's my son and I both going to those games together. Those are the last two Patriots games we've been to here in Miami.
Wow, so, I see a bad pattern.
Fins up, man.
There you go. You need to get to that game next year, Rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to get there.
In fact, you need to buy Rich's tickets.
You're my good luck charm.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Marlins.
Speaking of that play, I got just an hour from now, we'll have the top 20 all-time plays for the Dolphins. I think that one that he mentioned is in that
list. It's got to be. Marlins Park, by the way, got a great, their third best.
In baseball?
In baseball. Third best.
Well, because nobody's there.
Well, when you're serving 6,000 people a night.
Yeah, it's pretty clean.
Only Progressive Field and Miller Park are better.
Yeah, you don't have to open up all the grills and the concession stands over there. They're going to stay pretty clean.
What's Progressive Field? Who plays there? Is that the Tigers?
No, that's Comerica.
That's Comerica Park.
But Comerica's where the one where the kid had a felony because he spit a loogie into some pizza sauce.
Yeah.
Got a red cut right in front of a camera. Yep. So where was that camera? That was like just a surveillance camera there.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, that's where the old
Jake
used to be. Yeah, it's changed names. By the way, if you're wondering about Fenway,
Clean.
Fenway's pretty good. 17.24%.
Well, you're talking about stadium food?
Is it talking about
the sausage with peppers and onions at JetBlue? You cannot beat it.
Good?
You can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Get out of here, Milwaukee, with your sausage and your peppers and onions. I'm sure it's great, but at JetBlue Park, nice warm March day, cold beer pressed against your lips, nice warm dog spraying juice all over your lap when you take a my gosh, I can't wait for spring training this year.
I've got Ford Field here. Raw hamburger contamination. Inspectors saw an employee touch raw hamburger, then a hamburger bun without washing hands and changing gloves.
That's not chicken.
Inspectors saw a customer self-serve condiments without utensils at a concession stand, allowing for potential contamination. And inside the hot chocolate machine, it was dirty. You know, hot chocolate machines, coffee machines, ice machines.
Those are bad.
Never clean those out.
Those are bad.
Whether you're at a theater, whether you're at a stadium, whether you're on an airplane, don't ever get the ice. That thing is never clean.
No, it really is. You're so right. And that's where a lot of the bacteria comes from. A lot of times you can get sick. People are like, it wasn't the food, it was the ice and the tubes and then the beer taps if they are not cleaned properly regularly.
Yep.
In football, the worst, as we told you, Bank of America Stadium with a Bronco Stadium at Mile High, horrible. Nissan Stadium and TIAA Bank Field.
Jacksonville, right?
Yep. That's the fourth worst. Soldier Field is the fifth worst.
And, the Bears.
You go all the way down. You say you already gave Ford Field.
Yeah.
The top three.
Like the cleanest three? Or
the cleanest three. State Farm Stadium, Gillette is second, and NRG Stadium is first.
State Farm Stadium.
State Farm Stadium,
I'll pop it open. It is Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We did that. All right. Very good.
We have other ones, too. Whatever.
All right. It's disgusting. I'm not hungry at the moment.
Oh, that's in all of sports.
Yeah.
Boog Powell, Baltimore. Not Boob Powell, but Boog Powell. The barbecue out in right field at Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But that's different. I don't count that. That's like real food made by real barbecue pit masters. Mm. That is a treat. Chris, you would love that. On a summer day in back of right field at Camden Yards, they have a huge, gigantic, authentic barbecue. It's fantastic.
I did the logistical work the summer when I graduated high school. Me and a buddy were going to take a cross-country trip and hit every ballpark.
Yeah,
everyone?
ESPN's not
every single one.
Yeah.
It would have taken just over a month to do. Because, and you know what throws the wrench in it? And I got a real problem with this town. Seattle.
Yeah.
It's like a two-day trip to the closest ballpark there.
Yeah.
I think it's San Francisco to Seattle. That's basically what you're doing. Or Oakland. Right. Which one's further north? I think Oakland's north, right?
No. What are you talking about?
Oakland or San Francisco?
You're either going to a Giants or an A's game, and then you're making the two-day trip.
You're crossing
the
bridge. It's right there. It's almost equidistant. But
that really messed it up.
So did you do this and knock off most of them? Or
no, never did it. We did the logistical work of it. We started figuring out how much it was going to cost. And
I think ESPN did like a 30 for 30. We're
18 at the time, and it was like,
ESPN did something before 30 for 30.
Blow through all of our graduation money, and it wasn't worth it.
It's expensive. Gas alone.
All right, Marcus Grant will be with us next. He is from the NFL Network. We have him on every week to talk fantasy football. You guys are in the playoffs now. Get your question, your either-or, start or sit questions. Just go ahead and text them in. It's the easiest way at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. That's next, fantasy football. Stay with us, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Don't forget tomorrow, the Beasley Bike Drive. Drop off a new bike, unwrapped toy, cards, everything. We're going to be out there at Walmart in Estero, at Estero Parkway and Tamiami Trail on 41. Beasley Broadcasting will be out there broadcasting all day from 6 to 6. But we'll be doing our show from 2 to 6, so come on by. Anytime we talk fantasy football, it's brought to you by BMW of Fort Myers, and it's time to welcome our friend Marcus Grant from the NFL Network for all of your fantasy concerns with the playoffs here. Marcus, how are you?
Hey, Marcus.
You know, I've got to admit, before I came on, somebody played, I don't know if you've heard this, Pitbull did a cover of the song Africa by Toto, and
yes.
I'm completely shook because it's one of the worst things I've ever heard in my entire life. So I just want to let you know I'm a little bit shook right now, but I'm going to try to make it through.
I'm sorry about that, because that seems to be a popular song to do a remake of. Who else did one that was pretty good a little while ago? Chris, you know.
I know Weezer.
Yeah, Weezer. I like the Weezer version. That's okay, but I did not know Pitbull did one, too. That's got to be bad. Hey, did you guys survive all the rain out there?
We did, and now it's back to normal. The sun's out, and there's still traffic on the 405. So things are okay now.
Very good.
Now, more importantly, because we had some people in this building that had some tremendous fantasy football a regular season, yada, 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 and then now they're done. So anything like
that
happen? Anything like that happen to you and your teams?
No. You know what? Either the leagues that I lost in the playoffs in, I sort of squeaked into the playoffs, and the ones where I was confident, I ended up getting a first round bye. So it was one or the other. I'm okay.
Feast or famine. All right. That sounds good. All right, let's start with tonight's game. It's an intriguing game just from a fan standpoint for a game, but definitely I know a lot of people got some fantasy people that are Chargers or Kansas City Chiefs. Your thoughts on this one? I know Tyreek Hill has got the foot thing. I mean, what's your take on this game and all these potential players that people could be playing tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one because there's, as you mentioned, there's a lot of players that are going back and forth in this one. But I think what has really made it interesting is kind of the injury aspect of it. I mean, it looks like Melvin Gordon's probably not going to play. We know Austin Eckler's out. Spencer Ware is out for the Chiefs. So suddenly, you've got running backs that have been well down the depth chart in a lot of cases that are now being thrust into the spotlight. So Justin Jackson suddenly becomes a really good start on the Chargers side. Damian Williams becomes a good start on the Chiefs side. And, you know, you talked about Tyreek Hill being at less than 100%. I'm sure he will play. I'm sure he'll be fine. But it does open some things up potentially for Chris Conley, who has kind of been quiet fairly, you know, for much of the season on the other side, but I think could really get some attention if the Chargers decide to focus so many of the resources on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
What about a case in Phillip Rivers, who this year so far, he had a good game against the Chiefs back in September, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. But the Chiefs have been his nemesis. And the last, you probably know this, but the last 9 times, he's thrown 14 picks and only 9 touchdowns. So I'm wondering, say you have like a Lamar Jackson, say, or Phillip Rivers, who had a good game this year, as I said, but has struggled against his team historically. Who would you go with in that situation? Do you look at numbers like that, or you just say, no, I'm just going to go, you know, what happened a few months ago?
Yeah, I tend to, not that I completely discount those things because I think they do mean something, especially when you're talking about two teams in the division. But I'm just sort of looking at what Phillip Rivers has done this year and how well he has played for most of the season and the fact that the Chiefs' defense has really kind of been a sieve this year. So I look at that and say, look, I still believe in Phillip Rivers. I still believe that he can help move this football. And I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. And so it's a situation where I think the Chargers will have to rely on Phil Rivers to throw the football. And so if nothing else, the potential volume of him throwing it maybe 40 times a game, I think maybe makes up for any historical stat you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. All right, Marcus, we've got some questions being texted in. I'm on from the 239. Ebron or Gordon in a shootout, and then also Matt Ryan or Lamar Jackson.
You know what? I'd probably go with Josh Gordon in this one. In that one, is because, you know, it's funny because he's got a very high yards per catch average, although most of it has been yards after the catch, so credit him for that. Was it Matt Ryan or Lamar Jackson was the other option there?
Yeah, yep.
You know, as much as I like Lamar Jackson, I think I'd probably still lean with Matt Ryan in this one. I mean, I know that the Falcons have been hard to figure this year, but Matt Ryan is actually still putting up some decent numbers. They can't really run the ball all that well. And the good thing about Matt Ryan is he's not turning the football over. So I think I'd give him the edge there.
Well, no, a lot of people are in, I think, like their semis this week, right? Or finals. So what, you know, is there any one recommendation you can make at this point? Because and I know it's like, you know, just go with the guys that got you there. But is there anything, when you're looking at some of the matchups, do you take records of certain teams and, you know, is inclined to change your mind if this team is quit or they're out of it as opposed to, but you still have players on that team that might do okay, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just to me, it's just a tough decision if you have, say, you have like a David Johnson as opposed to, you know, somebody else who's still in it.
No, I get what you're saying. And I tend to look at it more in terms of the defense that they're facing as opposed to the offensive players themselves. You know, I still think there are guys who want to go out and, you know, especially at the skill positions, try to go out and score touchdowns and do what have you. But, you know, I look at a team like Washington and things have fallen apart for them. And defensively, they're sort of a mess. So I would try to pick on a defense like that. You know, I think that's kind of where you go. The Jaguars, I know, they've had some decent weeks, you know, in the last few, but on the whole, it's a team that looks sort of demoralized out there. And so I sort of kind of pick those matchups there. You know, I still try to believe in my offensive guy. So I think that this is a good week potentially for David Johnson against a banged up Falcons defense. But, you know, I still think there are defensive units out there that you can look at and say, you know what, this group looks like their heart might not be in it the way it was, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, and kind of try to make my decisions that way.
239 texting in, Sony Michel or White, he has them both. Should he start them both or one over the other?
I would probably go with Sony Michel over James White, who has just sort of kind of disappeared in that offense lately. But it's frustrating because, you know, I always refer to what the Patriots do with their running backs as Belichick, because you can't really figure them out all that much. But it seemed like we had been able to figure out Sony Michel and James White had both been really good. Now in the last few weeks, Rex Burkhead has come back and he's getting touches. James Devlin is showing up and scoring touchdowns out of nowhere. And so it's driving us to distraction. But I still think Sony Michel at least keeps some value because he seems like the guy who's still getting the bulk of the touches back there.
Would you take a chance this week, say, if you had Miami's defense, they lead the league in interceptions, and they're going up against a very struggling offense. A tough road game for them, no doubt. Minnesota's reeling. I think they're in serious trouble. But you look at, if you've got the Dolphin defense, do you go with them this week against that pathetic offense of the Minnesota Vikings right now?
I think there are some cases to be made for it. And I think one of the big ones is that the offensive line for the Vikings has really struggled. And so I think that's a situation where the Dolphins can get after him, get some pressure on Kirk Cousins, pick up some sacks, and maybe force some bad throws and get interceptions. You just have to live on the other side with the fact that the Dolphins' run defense is likely to get shredded. So you may see a lot of Dalvin Cook getting the football. If you can live with the yards, which, you know, isn't really a terrible thing in fantasy football, yeah, as long as they're getting those sacks, enforcing those turnovers, things will be okay, and that Minnesota offensive line can contribute to that.
Marcus, do you like Dak Prescott or Drew Brees if you had to choose one?
I think I like Drew Brees a little bit more. You know, the Colts surprisingly have been better on defense than I think a lot of us anticipated coming into the season. And for all the great things Dak has done over the last couple of months, I think this is a game where you see both starting quarterbacks, Dak Prescott and Andrew Luck, with sort of, you know, average, maybe slightly above average numbers. I don't know that either one of those guys goes big. On the flip side, I think this is a week for the Saints offense to sort of get healthy. They haven't been very good the last few weeks, but you know, we talk about those defenses that look like they just don't really have it in them right now, and the Carolina Panthers are struggling mightily. And I think this is a chance for the Saints, knowing that they got to keep the pressure on the Rams right now to keep winning. That I think it's the Saints that sort of kind of get healthy a little bit.
I'm looking at, you know, Jared Goff really struggled at Soldier Field Monday night with the stadium, with the cold weather and all that stuff. Played terrible, but there are a lot of people. I would think at home this week against the Eagles, would he even be considered a sleeper, or do you just, if he's on your team, you go with him? He's going to have a nice bounce back week.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a week you go back to Jared Goff. Yeah, I don't know if he's a sleeper, but I know that there are a lot of people who are a little bit concerned after what they saw last week. And You know, I don't know how much of it was with the cold or how much of it was just that the Bears defense is really good. But either way, coming back home to Los Angeles, the weather should be nice over the weekend. And they're facing an Eagles secondary that has just been so beat up and had to go so far down their depth chart that it's just really hard to think that they're going to stay with those Rams wide receivers all day long. So I feel very confident going with Jared Goff, rather.
Sunday night, not Monday night. My mistake before people start texting and correcting.
Marcus Grant with us from the NFL Network. All right, 239 texting again. PPR flex position. Does he use Chris Carson, George Kittle? What did he have a game last week? Or Jalen Samuels?
I would probably go with Jalen Samuels, but you know, with the caveat, make sure you keep tabs on James Conner's status in the event that you know he does come back. That obviously changes it. But I think Jalen Samuels is the guy that they can get the ball to most easily. Chris Carson's been good, but he's splitting time with Rashad Penny and Mike Davis. And as much as I like George Kittle, he is kind of the only thing really in that Niners passing game, and I think the Seahawks will do what they can to try to take him away. So I think Jalen Samuels, again, as long as there's no James Conner, then I think Jalen Samuels is your guy.
One guy from the 239 around here texts in for you, Mark. Big Ben or Goff?
You know, I think I would probably go with Ben in this one. And you know, so you know, our joke certainly has been because Ben seems to be setting up his hero narrative, you know, this whole story with his ribs and the X-ray machine in Oakland and, hey, guys, look at me. I'm beat up this week and I don't know if I can go. Those seem to be the weeks that Ben Roethlisberger comes out and, you know, dazzles you with like 360 yards and four touchdowns. And what is a big game for the Steelers? They really have to get a win because they are struggling right now. And so I just have a feeling that they're going to lean very heavily on Ben Roethlisberger in that passing game.
Marcus, any other matchups or maybe some stacks that you've got circled for this weekend?
Well, definitely a matchup, not so much a stack, but I was big on Doug Martin last week, and he gave you a decent number, and I'm staying with him this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that's going to be a really good situation there. And, you know, I do sort of like the combination of Lamar Jackson and, say, John Brown, because we saw them kind of get together a little bit and score a touchdown last week, and I think Lamar Jackson is starting to get more comfortable as a passer, and I think that Bucs defense, the way the Bucs play, they will score points and force you to keep up with them, but the defense doesn't really do a whole lot to slow down opposing offenses. So this could be maybe the blossoming of Lamar Jackson this week.
All right, Marcus, when's the next time we can see you on the TV on the NFL Network?
You can see me actually coming up in just a little bit, 5 nice. O'clock Eastern on NFL Network, awesome. NFL Fantasy Live.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Marcus. Great advice.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, take care, guys.
All right, that's Marcus Grant from the NFL Network. Check him out. Yeah, he said, 5 o'clock Eastern? 15 minutes from now. Let's put it on. Our fantasy football chit-chat brought to you by BMW of Fort Myers as well. All right, 239-337-ESPN is the phone number if you want to jump on the show. Coming up, we will have WWE tickets to give away. Oh, and I will tell you who the most Googled athlete was of 2018. You will be surprised. Don't look it up. I will tell you when we come back. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd. We're Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN if you want to jump on board there. Just got done talking with Marcus Grant from the NFL Network. Talking some fantasy football with him. Rick Haro, our sports business insider, will be with us. Also a Dolphins fan. I'm sure he'll have a thought on the miracle in Miami over the weekend. We'll get to all that. And in a moment, we're going to give away some WWE Live tickets, so hang tight for that. Could the two of you, Chris and Pete, take a stab at who you think the most Googled pro athlete of 2018 was?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
No.
No.
Colin Kaepernick.
No. No.
Were either of us in the right sport?
No.
LeBron James.
Right sport, not LeBron.
Michael Jordan. No. Steph Curry.
Nope, nope, and nope.
Hang on.
Kevin Durant.
Nope.
No, hang on. Player or coach?
Player.
Current?
Yep.
Harden?
Nope. You're thinking incorrectly.
Carmelo Anthony.
You're thinking of superstar. Think of other players that
Tristan Thompson.
Bam.
Boom.
Oh, God. What a tweet. Well, he's out for a while.
He's out 2 weeks with a broken foot or a sprained foot.
Due to his relationship with Khloe Kardashian, it made him the most Google searches.
Not how many timeouts I forgot.
Huh?
How many timeouts? You know, did he have a problem last year in the playoffs? Remember?
I thought that was J.R. Smith.
Oh, it was J.R. Smith. That's right. I get my knuckleheads mixed up.
They're knuckleheads.
You're right.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson was busy on video cheating on his girlfriend or wife. Anyway, she was in labor having a baby.
Baby mama.
At the time. And he's the most good. Now, who else made the list? Manchester United star Alexis Sanchez. Who did you say?
I said Cristiano Ronaldo, but...
Well, Sanchez blows him away. Olympian Shaun White still with some juice. And Lindsey Vonn.
Oh, I know why she's Googled.
And UFC star Khabib, whatever. The guy
Nurmagomedov.
Yeah. Wow, that rolled off your tongue. It was pretty good. Yeah, those are the most Googled athletes of 2018. Different times that we live in now.
I'm surprised Kaepernick is not in there.
You could have given me 153 guesses, and I wouldn't have guessed Tristan Thompson.
I know. Now, interesting that a guy like Kaepernick is not.
That's the Kardashian connection. That's what does it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But, I mean, if Kaepernick doesn't even make the list, it's because people are tired and don't care about it anymore. It's still an issue in the media, but is it not an issue in everybody's living room and in around America? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. So, anyway, thought that was fascinating. Yeah, I would have never guessed that in a billion years. All right. Don't forget, also, in addition to the Beasley Bike Drive tomorrow, I want to let y'all know that you can check out the 2018 College Football Bowl Pick'em game on our website at 993ESPN.com. And just simple, register, pick your bowl games, whichever one of you out there listening right now gets the most right. And by the way, the bowl games start in like 48 hours. It's bowl season, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Whoever gets the most right, you get a free suite, the 99.3 ESPN suite at Everblades game. So that's a fun deal, by the way. It's a nice, good family atmosphere. I think 10 tickets come with that.
10 tickets, three parking passes. Yeah. You get some food up there waiting for you.
It's an unbelievable water experience.
Yeah, it's a nice setup. Did you say some water?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want adult beverages, they'll happen to supply them for you.
Yeah, you can buy those on your own dime.
Yeah.
What if a 20-year-old wins this, Craig? We can't supply 20-year-olds with alcohol.
Do you have to be 18 to win?
You have to be 18 to win, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then, good point, Chris.
Yeah.
But our rules are always listed at 993ESPN.com. Official rules and details on the website.
In case you missed it earlier today in New Jersey, but right after MetLife Stadium, a pretty decent-sized car hit a Brinks truck, not making this up, and money went all over the street. I put the video up. It's on our...
Made it rain.
At 99.3 ESPN.
That's not the definition of making it rain.
Oh, at 99.3 ESPN radio. And we put a poll question up there. If you saw it, and people were stopping and going across this gigantic highway, and if anybody's driven by a giant stadium, you know, it's a major highway. If you saw a Brinks truck spilling money in the streets, would you stop traffic to get out to take it? Over 200 votes, 66% say yes.
And 34% are liars.
Yeah.
34% are honest people that would give the money back because it's not theirs to begin with. What's the definition of making it rain? If you can make rain, they'll make dollar bills come flying.
You can only make it rain in one very specific location.
It has to be a club?
It's got to be at the club.
You can't make it rain on the street corner?
No, you're just throwing money away at that point. I mean, you're throwing money away the other way.
Yeah, right.
But at least you're helping some kids go to college.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Rick Earl will come up next. And then later on, this is for Chris and all Dolph fans.
Yeah, you
there.
Walk in there sometimes and you see somebody making it rain. Not like the rappers do on Instagram. I've never seen that in real life.
With garbage bags full.
But some big businessmen, let's say.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Really?
You don't make it rain with them. You just go and you watch it rain.
Yeah.
Oh.
Free entertainment.
How do you like make it fly off your hand? Like,
well, I think it's more in the wrist. You're doing it with an elbow. It's more of a wrist
flick. Is that what it
is? Right.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. All right. And then the next hour, the top 20 plays in Dolphins history. We'll tell you the miracle in Miami was number one, but we'll reminisce over the other 19.
The 3-0 loss in Foxborough in 1982
is in there. Fans, don't you do that, Pete Shepard.
Well, it's got to be up there.
You don't do that.
3-0.
1-0.
John Smith.
1-0. You can't hurt me with things that happened before I was born.
Snowplow. Good.
317, supporting single moms $1 at a time.
It's a beautiful thing. It should be a tax write-off, if you ask me.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
People helping people.